No, I call the cross the place of the divine exchange. Amen. It's the place where Jesus literally took our place on it and exchanged everything. So it was our death. You know, he took our death and he gave us his life. He took our sickness and he gave us divine health. He took our weakness and he gave us his strength. He took our poverty and he gave us his wealth and his riches. You know, our God is an awesome, awesome God. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday, amen, in the house. And to those of you joining us from home, happy Resurrection Sunday, amen. Scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, well, son, we say WFH, working from home. I always like to say worshiping us, worshiping from home. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready for a preacher's joke? This is one that I heard other day by a preacher, but I thought it was so good, just made me laugh. So the man and his wife went to the Holy Land on vacation. They went along with his mother-in-law, so his wife's mother. And sadly, while they were there, she passed away. And they had a meeting with the undertaker just to discuss arrangements. And the undertaker said, well, you've got a couple of options. You can either fly her body back home to the U.S., but that'll be like $5,000. Or, there's a deal where you can actually have her buried right here in the Holy Land for just $150. It's a no-brainer, right? So, and he says to the man, thinks about it for a while and thinks, do you know what? I think we'll fly her back home. And the undertaker is like baffled, says, why wouldn't you just bury her here, right? It's a wonderful opportunity right here in the Holy Land for a small $150. And the man says, 2,000 years ago, a man died in this place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you got the humor in that. That's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. How many, you know, in this whole corona environment, praise God that we're coming out of the lockdown. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And just so much has been going on. The government has been grappling with the whole situation, trying to plan and prepare the nation to exit it. How many have heard about Prime Minister Johnson's, what should we call it? Is it his exit strategy or plan yet to come out of lockdown? Yeah, how many have sort of heard that, or at least, you know, either seen it or heard about it? You have. Wonderful. And how many can remember we had the first wave, then a second wave, and now we're kind of just coming out of the third, and hopefully there's not going to be a fourth. Amen? Amen. But you know, in all of that, you know, while all that's been going on, the government's been accused, and you may have heard this accusation as well, of mixed messaging. Sometimes, you know, and it's in their efforts to get things right, you know, they've had to sort of shift dates and change things and rearrange things and all the rest of it. But so often, you know, it comes across as mixed messaging because they've said something, then they've done a U-turn, then they've had to change what they said originally and then say something different and stuff. Anyone relate to that? Yeah, so those messages come out there. And, you know, messages are so important. Right. You know, we're in the IT, the information technology age right now. This is the tech age. This is the tech generation. I think my kids know more about, you know, the internet and all the wizzy, wonderful things you've done. There's so many different social media platforms that they're on, that they chat and communicate across, it's like, you know, you get dizzy just thinking about it. But in this information tech age, it's so important, the messages that we hear. And it's so important that we hear the right messages. And it's so important that we have the right response to the messages that we hear. Yes. It's so key. And I want to, first of all, just jump in straight away with a scripture. So turn with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to look at a couple of verses in there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I'll have it, thank you. Thank you in the box there. That's the new Kojo V version, my favorite one. It says, God, who at various times and in different or in various ways. So God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Verse number 2. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I'm going to pause there. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Has spoken unto us by his Son. You know, God is still speaking. Amen? Amen. He has been speaking through the ages. But now as we come to this Easter season, on this Resurrection Sunday, I've titled my message, I've called my message, The Message of the Cross. The Message of the Cross. There is a message that God has been speaking through the ages, through time, and right up until that, and it's still a valid message that God is speaking straight into our hearts. The message of the cross. Shall we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 18th verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. Turn to your neighbor and say, foolishness. Turn to your other neighbor and say, foolishness. Say with an attitude, foolishness. For the message of the cross is foolishness, but watch this, to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is our starting point today, but I want us to start at the cross. You know, the cross was an entirely brutal form of execution devised by the Romans, how they would execute prisoners or people who they tried and found guilty. Absolutely brutal. But before they nailed you, before the Romans would nail you to the cross, they would actually scourge you first. There was a scourging that took place. And you know what that was? That was a whipping, what we call the cat of nine tails. You know, it was a whip that had sort of like nine leather strands. On the end of it, it was tipped with metal pellets and bits of bone. So the idea was that as they whipped you, as they whipped your back, those sounds will just wrap around you. The little pellets and little bits, fragments of bone would like literally rip into your skin. And as they pulled back, it would literally rip the skin off of your body. Such was the brutality. You know, many people didn't even survive the flogging. It was so bad that by the time they'd been flogged so severely, they were almost, if not dead, by the time they were nailed to the cross. That such was the brutality of that beating, of that whipping. You know, Scripture says that Jesus Christ endured that for you and for me on Calvary's tree. You know, Isaiah 53 gives a detailed account on that and speaks of that flogging, of the whipping that he had to endure. You know, it speaks about how he was bruised for our iniquities. We'll back up a little bit. How he was wounded for our transgressions. How the punishment necessary to obtain our peace was laid upon him. And he says, by his stripes, those were the stripes. It was the stripes he received from that flogging. By his stripes, we were and we are healed and made whole. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And so Jesus Christ took our place. I love the way Bill Johnson puts it. He says, no, Jesus didn't just die for us on the cross, but he died as us. He didn't just die for us, but he died as us. So he literally took my place, your place on Calvary's tree. Literally. And so everything that he suffered was for us. Because he was completely guiltless. He had done nothing wrong. You know, Pilate said, aren't you going to answer these people? Look at these accusations that they bring against you. And by that, Jesus didn't answer a word. Because he had an appointment with destiny. You know, that appointment was your appointment and was my appointment. You know, the beauty I love about the cross was that it's timeless. It's past, present, and future. For people not yet born, Jesus has already died for them. For people who were born before Jesus physically came on the earth, Jesus paid the price for them too. Amen? For those of us in the right now, Jesus Christ has paid the price. And so it's such an awesome thing that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. You know, let's look at the eyewitness. I love this. You know, there's an eyewitness account from Matthew. So if you go to Matthew and chapter 27. Matthew 27. And I believe that it wasn't even the flogging and the crucifixion in itself that finally kills Jesus on the cross. And here's a thought. But the 46th verse says this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ was one with the Father, never separated. But for the first time, the Father looked away from him. He cried out, and heaven was silent. Remember back when the Father affirmed Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Well, this is the opposite of that. He cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? And there was no response from the Father. And shortly afterwards, if we turn, jump down to verse number 50, it says, and Jesus cried out again. So you see, I want us to make this connection. He cried out once, Father, why have you forsaken me? Dot, dot, dot. And silence. And then he cries out again in verse number 50 with a loud voice. He just cried out. And then he yielded up the spirit. And then it was all over. He cried out and he yielded up the spirit the second time. That was for you and that was for me on the cross. That was the price that he paid. Jesus did that for you and for me. You know, it's a powerful story. And it's a true story. You know, historians have debated through the years. Was Jesus really crucified? You know, the Muslims have a spin and an angle on that. But we know, foolishness to the world, but to us who are being saved, the power of God. Jesus, the power of God. To us who are being saved. You know, I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5:29 says, "For he made him who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That you and I might become the righteousness of God. God made him to be sin. That was why God looked away and didn't answer him. Because he made him to be sin. For a moment, Jesus Christ, Bible says, God laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all was laid on Jesus. So Jesus was on the cross, and then the sin of the whole, imagine this, sin of the whole world, of generations yet to come, of generations past, all were laid upon Jesus. How is that possible? You know, we can scarcely fathom it, scarcely think it through. But you see, in the realm of the Spirit, what took place there was beyond human imagination. But God had this plan in his mind. God executes his master plan. I think it was a master stroke by God that completely foxed the devil. The devil was like crying out for blood. They were crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." But even in doing that, as we'll come to see later, that was God's genius plan for the salvation of the world, for the redemption of humanity. You know, I call the cross the place of the divine exchange. Amen? It's the place where Jesus literally took our place on it and exchanged everything. So it was our death. You know, he took our death and he gave us his life. He took our sickness and he gave us divine health. He took our weakness and he gave us his strength. He took our poverty and he gave us his wealth and his riches. You know, I love the acronym, GRACE. God's riches at Christ's expense. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God blessed us immeasurably on the cross. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Have you got your shouting clothes on? But you know, it gets better. Because we're going to rejoice. Because the devil didn't see this one coming. I want us to go back to the story. Go back to the scene if you like. Matthew 28 and verse number 2. And just watch how things begin to unfold right now. He says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Can I have someone on the keyboard? Aaron, are you there somewhere? Just come and help me, please. I want to have some sound effects. How about that? You got your shouting clothes on? You got your dancing clothes on? Because we're going to shout. We're going to get excited in just a minute. Don't go quiet on me now. So this is the scene. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I like that. An angel came up and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb and sat on it. So what? You know, it speaks about the guards who were there guarding the tomb. Where were they when the angel was rolling the stone away? Do you see this? What were they thinking? Have the next verse, please. Just on there. It says, and his countenance, watch this, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Next verse. He's a proper bad guy. And the guards shook for fear of him. And became like dead men. The guards shook for fear of him. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen an angel, the one whose face looks like lightning. His clothes were snow white, dazzling. The Bible says the guards shook. I think that was an understatement. I'm sure there were some smelly underwear there somewhere. There were some soiled tunics. There was something going on that's no too much detail. But the angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away. And next verse. But the angel answered and said to the women, so this is to the two Marys, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Next verse. He is not here, for he is risen. Say that with me. He is risen. Say again. He is risen. Say it again. He is risen. Say it again. He is risen. Say it again. He is risen. Stand to your feet. He is risen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. He's not there. He is risen. You know, we started out in Corinthians with Paul's letter. I want us to go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Pick up at verse number 19. Because Paul has a revelation on what happens. You know, even though he wasn't physically there himself, but God gave him afterwards a revelation. It says, for I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Next verse. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. All through ages, all through time, God has had a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation for you and for me, to set the captives free, to heal the sick. You know, cancer, all kinds of diseases, Jesus took that upon himself on the cross. Jesus paid the price in full. There isn't anything, there isn't any situation that can come against us, there isn't anything that can happen to us that takes God by surprise. God's already covered the entire spectrum, past, present, and future. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid for it all. I want us to give God glory today for what he has done. You see, I often put it this way. Actually, let me say something first. 1 Corinthians, if we look at the second chapter and verses 7 and 8, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory. God had you and he had me in his mind from the beginning of time. Turn to your neighbor and say, hidden wisdom. It was the hidden wisdom of God. And watch this, verse number 8. It says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. Shout hallelujah! 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 It says, none of the rulers knew it. But if they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. None of them knew it. Hallelujah. They would not have crucified the King of Glory. I want us to stand to our feet one more time. Us taxiing to close now. Because you see, it wasn't, I don't believe it was just the nails that held Jesus Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago. Though the nails were there in his hands, but you know, it takes more than a few nails to hold Jesus on the cross. Yes, he was fully God. Yes, he was fully man. Yes, he was the spotless Lamb of God. But you know what? It was love. It was his love for you and for me that kept him on the cross. You know, I asked a question once, that did he have to die? Did he have to? Someone said, yes, in some sense, yes, because he aligned his will with the Father's. He said, not my will, but yours, Lord, be done. So Jesus Christ surrendered his will to the Father's will. They were in complete harmony and in complete agreement. But you know, it was love that kept him on the cross. It was because of he loved you and he loved me that he made that decision to go through on the cross. You know, no one took his life. He laid it down. He laid down his life. It was a decision to lay down his life. When Peter was rebuking him and he was talking about his crucifixion, what would happen to him, Peter said, never! This shall not happen to you.
you try to correct the Lord. But you know, Jesus perceived Satan speaking right through him and said, "Get away from me, Satan. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has prepared for me to drink?" But I said, it pleased God to bruise him. But you know, it didn't end there. God did respond to him. He left him. He turned aside for a brief moment. And then Resurrection Sunday rolled around. Then the angel came and said, he's not there. He is Jesus who was crucified, but he is risen. Today I'm the bearer of good news. Today the message is good news. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead this glorious day. And the price he paid 2,000 years ago is still valid for you and for me today. I want to give an opportunity right now for anyone under the sound of my voice, whether you're in the auditorium right here or whether you're connecting to us from home, please drop something in the chat. But the invitation is to receive Jesus Christ. This same Jesus is alive forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That tug you feel on your heart, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice," if anyone hears the knock on the door and opens it, "then I'll come inside and dine with him." And so there's an opportunity. I don't want anybody who has never received Jesus Christ and you're in the auditorium, I don't want you to leave today without making that quality decision. No, Jesus Christ, he had a choice and he chose you. He chose to die. He chose to take your place. There's a choice, an opportunity for you to choose him. So I urge you, I encourage you to choose him today. If there's anyone here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then please raise your hand. Raise it up high, because there's an opportunity for you to receive Jesus today. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're in church for the first time. If there's anybody here. But if not, that's fine. If anyone's at home, please drop something in the chat. I'd like to make a second call just for a rededication. You know, it's a great time just to recommit your heart to Jesus. If you know in your heart that you strayed away from him, that your relationship isn't what it once was, and you want to draw near to him, he says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." You know, we've just come through just over a week of fasting. And he's calling you to a closer, more intimate relationship. If you want to refresh and renew that relationship right now, you want to rededicate your heart to Jesus, then you can do that as well. And then just raise your hand and say, "I want to rededicate my heart and my life to Jesus." Hallelujah. Well, we'll close the service with thanksgiving. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your great love. Thank you for the price that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary's tree for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Lord, that you died, you took our place to provide us with salvation, to provide us with healing, to provide us, Heavenly Father, with prosperity, to provide us, Lord, with your ambassadorship. Father, thank you, Lord, that we are new creatures, that old things have passed away, that all things have become new. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen.